It's that time. Lock and load. The Michael Berry Show is on the air.
All right, so it's time for one of those real talk segments. Because part of being an adult is understanding that the naivete, the perfect little world. You remember when you were in kindergarten and all you cared about is Miss Rieger gave y'all 30 minutes? Well, you didn't know how long 30 minutes was in kindergarten. I didn't. And she'd give you a little time and you had your Hot Wheels and you had brought that car to school that day. But the car you'd brought was smoothed out like a Formula One. And so all the other cars would have to jump up on top of it. So if y'all did crash 'em up derbies, you would always win because nobody could ever crash your car because they couldn't get underneath. It was all low center of gravity. You remember that? Yeah, I had a red car. My brother and I would play crash 'em up derbies with our Hot Wheels, and whoever got to pick first would pick that, and that was the end of it. So your trick was you try to hit it sideways because you couldn't go straight on and beat it. Well, there comes a point in your life. I gave a speech last night, so my voice is busted. My apologies. But it comes a point in your life where you realize that all those happy little joys of being a kid are gone. And no matter how good your day is, there's still loved ones lost. There's still grief. There's still the import. You're making the most of what this world has left to offer you. When you talk to people who are really old, no matter what a good day they're having, they still miss the people they've lost, right? That's just going to be the way it is. Well, I kind of feel like we've reached that point, me and Ramon. This morning, Ramon texts me at 7:30, and he says, "Hey, I might be a little late." He wasn't. He was on time. "I might be a little late. Chad's going to cover for me." And then the next line. And here is the tragedy. And don't get me wrong. We won't need heart surgery as fast. We're less likely to just pass out or have a heart attack in the middle of the day. We don't heave when we're walking up the stairs. There's been a lot of weight lost in this studio. But Ramon said, "I'm going to be a little late." And then the next line. It's Dads and Donuts. Now, if you're about my age or younger, you know that the word "am I right" is all one word, like A-M-I-R-I-T-E. And I send back dads and donuts and diabetes. Am I right? Question mark.
I'm Wilford Brimley, and I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes about diabetes.
He said, "Dude, worst part, I just had the coffee." Now, if you've had anybody who was a staggering drunk, puking by noon, couldn't hold down a job, you're real happy that they don't have a drink anymore. That there comes that occasional moment where everybody, you know, Eddie Martini's having the annual party for all employees and it's 3 o'clock and everybody's had a couple of drinks and you look over at Bob and Bob's like, no, not me. I shan't be having a beer. And you're thinking, man, I just kind of wish Bob could have a beer. Just on this, but Bob can't have a beer because one beer is 48 beers. Right? And so there I was telling a joke I would have told literally for decades of knowing Ramon. Dads and donuts and diabetes. Am I right? And that would have been a funny joke as he came in and, you know, wiping his beard because of the glaze out of the donuts in his beard. So here comes Ramon. Normally I would have said waddling, but he does not even fat enough to waddle anymore. Here he comes strolling into the office, right on time, and Chad and I are watching. It was kind of like in The Biggest Loser. You know, the guys are standing over to the side, like, come on, Tubby. Except he wasn't fat anymore. Here was Ramon. He's coming in, and he's not even fat. He's like walking in like a normal person. There's no glaze in his donut. And there's no glazed donut in his beard. He doesn't have to wipe off his belly. He doesn't really hardly have a belly. It was the weirdest thing. And Chad and I, like, it was a certain, dare I say it, it was a certain death. The experience of a certain death was present. Because, sure, it's great. You know, Ramon's not on BP medication anymore. And he doesn't have the diabetes, and he doesn't have to do the shots, and he doesn't keel over in the middle of the show, and we have to resuscitate him. But you have to understand, you don't end up a fat guy because you're bored, and one day you end up a fat guy. You end up a fat guy because when you drop your kid off to school and you have forgotten it's dads and donuts, and they go, there's free donuts. You go, wah! Like, that's a thrill like none other. Like, that's up there with your first sexual experience. You're like, dad, that's donut! Like, it is state-sanctioned gluttony. And so that first donut, you go, yeah! And you know, Ramon has social anxiety. So at a moment like that, he would grab that first donut and be like, well, I don't really want to talk to anybody because I have social anxiety. But you're my kid, and I'm a dad. So he'd go in there, and he'd grab that first donut, and about halfway through that first donut, it'd be like your first drink. The nerves would be calmed. You'd be relaxed. You got some sugar flowing through you, and be like, a fat guy, and there's a fat guy lurking inside me, so don't get me wrong. A fat guy looks around and is like, okay, there's 11 dads, 8 boxes of donuts. The way I figure, the other 10 dads have probably had 3 donuts each. There's 12 donuts per box. So we're looking at somewhere about between 22 and 30 donuts left. Each of the dads at most will have one more donut. I got a dozen donuts left to me. Now, a really fat guy says, I don't give a damn. I'll eat the jelly donut. I know that's what's going to be left. Because some woman, and this is no offense, women, y'all can stop sending me emails that you're mad that I point this out, but it's true. Some woman went in to Shipley's, or just Shipley. Some woman went into Shipley's and was like, I need 10 dozen donuts. Okay, glazed. And at that moment, she thought, oh, diversity, because she's been taught diversity. So she said, well, 3 dozen glazed, because she knows everybody loves glazed. And then she started ordering stuff that nobody likes. The lemon jelly fill and all that. So at that moment, in the past, Ramon would have been like, I got a dozen. But Ramon forewent all the donuts. And I'm proud of him, don't get me wrong. But it just feels like a little part of Ramon has died.
The Michael Berry Show.
Come on, girl. Hey there, sugar dust. Let me tell you something, girl. I've been trying to say now. You look so sweet and you're so doggone fine. I just can't get you out of my mind. You become a sweet. So that we can live happily now in a great big old roomy house. And I know you're gonna groove me, baby. Oh yeah, make me feel good inside. Come on and groove me, baby. I need you to groove me. Oh yeah, now darling. Come on, come on, hey, hey there, sugar dumplings, come on, give me something, girl, I've
hugging. Ooh, you cute little thing. Girl, between you and me, now, now, we don't need no company. No other man, no other girl can enter into our world. Not as long as you prove, baby. Oh, come
so,
on. Make me feel good inside.
A woman I went to high school with, it feels weird to say woman because we were kids back then. But a young lady, a girl, as we would have said back then, that I went to high school with, went on to become a judge on the court. She's just beloved in Golden Triangle. I'm very proud of her. She was, say, 5 years behind me at Orangeville, so I never actually knew her back then. I just knew her name. And later, lawyers who would go to Orange would say, hey, there's this girl, woman by this time, who's on the bench, and she always asked people if they know you, and she really looked up to you, and she had Miss Martin, that was my debate coach, and she kind of followed in your footsteps, and it was a very nice story. Well, she is now, in her own right, extraordinarily successful and well-respected as a judge there. So this morning, she sends a message because the law enforcement officer involved in this story was friends with my brother. And it's a picture of a sheriff's deputy. And I don't know if this is a mom or what the hell this thing is. It looks like it might be a mom. And it's a white guy. He's got a high and tight. And then the girl who's on his arm is, I guess she's a high school student. But when you get older, you don't really know if a girl's 14 or 40. You kind of just know that you don't. You give up any sense of how old girls are at that point, and you just go, well, thank God I'm married. So the picture she sends is a picture of this officer, deputy, and this young lady who looks like a grown woman, but apparently she's a high school student. And she she says... So she sends this picture, and I said, wow. And she said, these are the stories about law enforcement that are never told. Have a great day. This guy was friends with your brother. He was the lead investigator on this girl's sister's murder, and she credits him for getting justice. Police Officers Association bought her the 24 blue roses bouquet. You know, the next time you run down a cop, and we've all had that turd cop. Everybody knows that guy. He's on a power kick. My God, you have no idea. If you were to just go sit in the offices of Doug Griffith or Ray Hunt on a day and go through the kind of stuff they deal with officers' families and things like that. So she sends a link to the officer's Facebook page, and it says, last night I had the honor of escorting Amia Gradnigo during her homecoming court, where she was selected by her peers as cheerleader sweetheart for the West Orange Stark Mustangs. Amia asked me to escort her in memory of her sister, Aaliyah Gradnigo, who lost her life to a horrific, senseless crime on January 23rd of this year that changed so many lives. Since that date, I have become very close to the Gradnigo family, and I am so honored to be part of their lives. On behalf of me, my family, my friends, and my department, I would like to tell Amia that we are so proud of you and the young lady that you have become. Man. These stories, I'm so sick of these stories. I'm so over these stories, to use the phrase the kids use. I'm so tired of hearing about how people are having to step in for the role of a loved one at a wedding, at a graduation, at a homecoming, because the loved one has been gunned down by some turd. It's got to stop. If I had my way, we'd start a vigilante force, and it would be justice. Nobody would be wrongfully murdered, which is impossible, but this is the way I dream of it. And every bad guy that does a drive-by, there we'd be like a fly on the wall, and we'd just put a few rounds in him, and they'd clean him up, move him on. Because the kind of person who did that is just destroying lives. There's two types of people. There's people going through their life, taking care of their loved ones, being there for other people, making sacrifices. And then there's just that taker, that complete and utter, awful, monstrous, evil taker. And I wish there was a way that the minute Chuck Cook's mom is killed, there could be a couple of us and we'd just be waiting. And we see what happened. We got the full set of facts. And you put a few rounds in him. But in my ideal world, it wouldn't be kill shots right off. There'd be a foot shot. And there he'd be. Oh, man, why'd you bear to fuck me? Why'd you bear to fuck me? Because turds are always little bitches when they're arrested. Do a ride along, and one of the things you'll find, this dude goes from tough guy to bitch in about a second. That's what they do on the stand. That's what they do in front of their probation officer. That's what they do in front of their baby mama. Oh, that's what they do in front of their own mama. On a moment's notice, they can turn it on. Oh, man, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Nope. We are the vigilantes for victims. We're here for justice. I quoted a Benjamin Franklin line last night. Well, you want to hear it? Justice will not be served until those of us who are unaffected by violence are as outraged as those who are. We shouldn't have to have a stop Houston murders pack to remind us that people are being murdered and we got to vote out the Democrats. We shouldn't, but we do. It's 6 days till we start voting. Sorry, 6 days till we register. I'm going to play you some Ed Young sermon, and we're gonna do a funeral for the death of Fat Roman. Fat Ramon, because Fat Ramon died.
Music is a world within itself, with a language we all understand. With an equal opportunity for all to sing, dance, and clap their hands. Because a record has a groove, don't make it in the groove. But you can tell right away in Dr. A when the people start to move.
So a friend of mine named Ken Wise is a Court of Appeals judge. And he was one of what we called the Zively boys. So y'all are probably tired of hearing me talk about Walter Zively, but he had a profound impact on my life. And, oh, by the way, yesterday, after we get off the air, I get an email through my public email from the Viennese sausage people that they heard, based out of Chicago, that they heard about Ramon's dad, and they're bringing him cases of Viennese sausages to deliver to him. Now, how nice is that? Anyway, so my buddy Ken Wise He used to be a big boy, but he's not a big boy anymore. He, too, has lost weight. And there's a certain sadness. If you've ever known anybody who used to be fat, like Ramon, and they lose weight, you think to yourself, well, the knee surgeon won't get to him as quickly as he used to. Dr. Mosley, you'll have to find some other way to pay your bills. And, you know, the cardiologist won't get to him as Stan Dukeman. You'll have to find some other way to pay your bills. And he won't sweat as much. And, you know, you won't be pulling at his shirt. Fat people always pull their shirt off their belly. Have you ever noticed fat people are always pulling their shirt off? So when somebody loses a bunch of weight like that, there's all the things that are positive. But what nobody discusses is there's a certain sadness because fat people have a joy to eating and overeating that there's nothing like it. Am I right, Ramon? There's nothing like it. And when Ramon said, see, I'm so programmed, 17 years of knowing my boy. When he tells me, might be a little late, Chad will be on the board, don't worry, it's dads and donuts. In my mind, I went to a certain place, and that place was 5 years ago, and social anxiety, Ramon, can I tell the story? Ramon used to have a terrible social anxiety. Part of that was being fat as a hog. And if there was a social event, if Eddie Martini, you have to understand, Eddie Martini does these all hands on deck, you know, all the stations annual review. And Eddie is like my brother. He's the guy that walks up and with the back of his hand hits you in the nuts. I mean, that's just Eddie, right? But if Eddie has a microphone, he's going to embarrass the person that least needs to be embarrassed. So he may go, how about that, Ramon? What do you think about that? You want a donut or whatever, you know? And Ramon's social anxiety would kick in. And if you've ever seen that meme of the Key and Peele deal, dude, I don't know if it's Jordan Peele or Keegan Key, you know what I'm talking about? It's the sort. It's not the tall, skinny, light-skinned guy. It's the shorter, kind of rounded out guy. There's a meme of water just pouring off of him. Well, that would be Ramon. And I would love to tell you that I would go into a party and Ramon would be in the corner and it would just be like, it's like somebody dumped a bucket on him, just sweating away because he had to stay there for a certain amount of time. But actually, I would just cringe for him. Well, now that he's lost all the weight, he doesn't even have that anymore. So I don't even, it's like a whole new person. But in my mind, when he said dads and donuts, I went back to that place because you have to understand, people don't end up fat because they're bored. They end up fat as a coping mechanism for, you know, I'm kind of nervous, so I'll eat. I'm kind of, you know, unhappy in my life, so I'll eat. But what nobody talks about is it's not all bad. That food becomes this happy place. So when you give that up and lose weight and everybody's like, Ramon, you look great. Look at you. Keep it up. You also realize there is that little bitty thing over in the corner that he doesn't have anymore. There's that ace in the hole that's not there anymore. So when I get my message as I'm leaving the house, and I get my message, gonna be late. Don't worry, Chad's on the board. It's dads and donuts. Is it dads and donuts or donuts and dads? Dads and donuts. Don't say it like it's a big deal whether I get it the order right. Oh, sorry, it's kindergarten. Don't let me get that wrong. So when I get the message, it's dads and donuts. Chad's on the board. Don't worry, I won't be late. In my mind, I went to Ramon's happy place, and I had my whole head wrapped around how happy Ramon had to be, because there he was, bringing little July into school, nervous. There's all the little pretty private school moms, because Ramon's big time now. He's at private school. So there's all the little hot private school moms and their yoga pants, and they got their ball cap and hair pulled through the back, and you're pretending you're being nice, but you're thinking, whoosh, they're all smoking hot. And so there he goes in for, you know, but it's dad's morning today. But did you already know it was donuts and dads? Dads and donuts? You were already aware? Had you already decided before you left home? Nope, you're not going down that path. We're not backsliding today. No, sir. We're not going to eat 8 donuts, Ramon. Are you already psyching? Oh, you probably had like some cantaloupe at home. You're like, you know what? Fill yourself with drink an extra water. And so I know some of you don't understand. Oh, the reason I was talking about Ken Wise. So Walter Zivley's wife, Nancy, the late, great Nancy Zivley, everybody called her Nana. And Nana would make what was called Nana bread. And Nana bread was this pan of cinnamon roll. And when she'd make it, she'd make a bazillion of them. And she'd tell all of Walter's boys, hey, I'm making some Nana bread. Come over on Thursday at 2 and your Nana bread will be ready. And you have never seen anything happier than he was fat at the time. He's not anymore. But when Ken Wise would get his and he would eat the whole thing, and it was about 12 inches wide by 6 inches tall. And at the end of it, just like my brother Creed, why'd you let me eat all that? But to watch him eat it, I mean, that was like a beaver going to work.
Something must be right. You're listening to Michael Berry.
Love to her. His money, his bank account. You think he wants to give all his bank account to her? Oh, here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. I don't know if y'all have ever heard of Kiss. This is a very underrated band from my childhood. And for a minute, a disco band. Don't tell them today, though. Ooh. Very upset that we remember they also became a disco band for a minute. Oh, here we go. 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 Someone's tongue is 39 inches. Yeah. Scientific fact. I read that. I got a text from Eddie Martini, who knows not to text me during the show. Quote, backhand to the nuts, WTF. Somebody must have hit him. Yeah. He's probably bothered about the thought of somebody. When I was in seventh grade, I had the... It was the first... Oh. Here we go. Here we go. Oh, yeah. When you were about in third grade, nothing better than this. Is for Nazi Satan service. Don't tell Miss Rieger. She won't let us listen to him. Miss Rieger knows what that stands for. She won't. 1978. Second grade. My birthday party at the roller rink. Ben Wernick, Toby Schultz, Craig Hobbs, all the boys were there. Oh, yeah. Mom said, if I didn't cry, I had tubes put in my ears.
My mom said if I didn't cry when they gave me the shot, I could have the belt buckle I wanted, which was the KISS belt buckle. So there I was. Wasn't gonna cry. Wasn't gonna cry. Ah! I was so needle phobic back then that when they would go to do the needle, guess what I'd do? I'd tighten up. The one thing you don't want to do. And I'm not saying I had Lou Ferrigno's leg, but I'm just saying making a muscle when they're giving you a shot, not really your best approach. Not my finest moment. '78 here on the Michael Berry Show. You say you wanna go for a spin. The party's just begun, we'll let you in. You drive us wild, we'll drive you crazy. You keep on shouting, you keep on shouting. I wanna rock and roll all night. Oh, yeah. There was a moment there, I'm telling you. There was a moment there when KISS was the deal, man. Michael, that's weird. So those were grown men wearing makeup? Shut your mouth! It was KISS! When it's somebody you like, you know, it's KISS! But they're... Okay, I got it. You were 8 years old. You were a big fan. But you're telling me you got straight men with long hair wearing makeup. You shut your filthy mouth, it's KISS. You show us everything you've got. God makes exceptions for KISS. About 5 years ago, my buddy Sundance Head. You gotta realize Sundance's journey. So Roy Head was a star, and then his boy Sundance. I mean, when you name your kid Sundance, you better be a star, right? You can't be working out at the plant like, Sundance. So there's Sundance. And Sundance is like Satchel Paige. Satchel Paige was almost 70 years old. And they're like, bring your old black ass out here. You're going to pitch to the best baseball player we got. And he's like, well, I don't know. I'm 70 years old. No, come on out here. Negro Leagues, and he just blows heat past him. He just strikes him out. Dude, I think he was 67 years old. He's like, I'm tired. I'm going to go rest now. Well, yeah, you just struck out Pete Rose and Hank Aaron. Well, Hank Aaron's black, but Pete Rose and DiMaggio and Mickey Mantle and everybody else. So here's Sundance Head. He's going along in life. And so he makes American Idol. And the dude's just straight up pipes. If you ever hear him, he can be eating the free ice cream at Gringo's and somebody say, hey, sing Mustang Sally. And just go into it, right? Well, there's Sundance. He's just blowing his pipes on, and he got screwed. It was bad. And everybody was devastated. So he does his deal, and he goes off. A couple years later, I check in. His wife, Misty, she's like, she is the one, you know, behind every guy. She's the one. It's like, no matter what, she would deliver CDs up to the station. She's like, would you just play Sundance? I mean, she's just keeping his dream alive, right? Years go by, and I'm like, poor bastard, he's done. And then they do, what's the one he did? The Voice. Well, he keeps advancing. He goes, hey, I got to tell you a secret. And believe it or not, y'all don't realize this. I'm a really good secret keeper. It's true, because y'all don't know the secrets I don't know. And he goes, I got to tell you a secret. You can't tell it. I said, okay. He goes, I won. You won The Voice? And I hadn't watched it yet. Yeah. And guess who I get to play with? Who? KISS. Wait. I can't keep that secret. So there I was sitting there with my secret. Sundance is going on stage with KISS, and I'm just sitting there keeping my secret.